We're in Mark chapter 7, verse 14. It says this, "And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand.'" We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and this is the first time that Jesus begins a conversation with these words, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." There is something that Jesus really wanted the people to understand that day. "Hear me, all of you." It's almost like the prophets of the Old Testament as they would begin to speak. Jesus is looking at the crowd. He says, "Hear me. What I'm about to say is important. It's foundational. Hear me, all of you, and understand." We see the words "all of you." Well, who is all of you? As Jesus is speaking, he had just finished talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are part of this "all of you." You with me? And he's talking to them, and they're complaining that Jesus' disciples were eating with unwashed hands. Of course, these Pharisees had come from Jerusalem, and they had murderous intent on their hearts. They're looking for reasons to accuse Jesus so they can get rid of him. We read that in Mark 3, as also in John 7. And so after talking about unclean hands, Jesus says to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" And then immediately after that, he kind of steps back and he calls the people to him. So the Pharisees are part of this group. "Hear me, all of you, and understand." So the crowd, who's in this crowd? The crowd, we read in Mark 6:55, as Jesus would move from city to town to villages, they would bring the sick out in the marketplace and they would lay them on the ground. And as Jesus would pass by, these sick people obviously heard about the woman who had the bleeding disorder and who touched just the fringe of his robe and were made well. And so the sick were reaching out and touching his robe and they were being healed. This is the crowd that is around Jesus. So as he steps back from these Pharisees, he's addressing them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand," but he's also addressing this crowd. "Hear me, all of you, and understand this thing." It wasn't just the crowd, his disciples were there. It's important for us to remember what his disciples just learned about him. He fed the 5,000 with just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. He did that sign hoping that his disciples would come and know that he is what? God. They didn't get it. The crowd wanted to make him king by force, and his disciples are probably caught up in the frenzy of that moment. And so Jesus made them get into the boat and go out on the sea to meet him on the other side. And they battle the waves and the storm all night long. And then Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Who can do that? God can do that. The laws of nature don't apply to God, right? He created the laws of nature. For us, what goes up has to come down. Is God, he lives outside of this realm. He created it. If he wants to make it go up and go up and go up, it goes up. He's not bound to the laws of nature. And it says he meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them like Moses passed by, or like God passed by Moses and showed his glory. He meant to pass by so they would know who he was. And the Bible says, In Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, "Those in the boat worshiped him." Make no mistake, Jesus is worthy of worship. Amen? And said, "Truly you are the Son of God." So they have this new revelation of who Jesus is, but yet, even though they know that he is the Son of God, Jesus steps back and he says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." They understood who Jesus was, but there was something important that they were missing. They were in that crowd. And these words were written down in Holy Scriptures, were they not? They were written down for the next generation of pastors that would preach and teachers that would teach. And they were handed down to the next generation. And they were handed down to the next generation and the next generation. And we read the words this morning. They were written down because there's something in the passage for us. Hear me, all of you, and understand. We've got several parents in the room. I'm at a different phase of parenting. My kids are going away to college. That kind of hurts, but the good thing is they come home from college. If you're a parent, you know there's a difference between hearing and understanding. You hearing me? Oh yeah, Dad. Are you understanding me? I've heard it said that gaining knowledge is like getting puzzle pieces. And getting understanding is like putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Hear me, all of you, and put these pieces to the puzzle together, because what I'm going to share with you is foundational to the Christian faith. Put the pieces of the puzzle together. I want you to understand something. And this something that God wants us to understand is, what is the source of evil? Where does it come from in the world today? Where is evil coming from? Today, we're going to address four different areas. Jesus is first going to talk to the crowd. Then he's going to meet privately with the disciples. That's second point. Third point, we're going to bring it down to our day and age. What does that look like in our day and age? And then lastly, we're going to look at the Pharisees again and see if we can apply it to our lives. So let's look first at Jesus as he's addressing the crowd. It's a very short statement. It begins in verse 14, in which Jesus calls the people to him again and says to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." And here's what he says to the crowd. "There is nothing outside a person that by going into him defiles him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." That teaching was very foreign to the Jewish mind. It might be foreign to our mind as well. You see, the Pharisees lived their life under a bunch of rules of do not touch. Evil was out here. Do not touch. Don't let the pollution of the world come in. Do not taste. Do not associate with certain types of people. The word Pharisee literally means a separatist. They separated themselves from the world because the world out here had evil in it, and they did not want to be polluted by the world around them. Evil was outside in the world around them. Mark 7, verse 3 and 4 shows us how far they would go to prevent the evil from coming in. They had these rules and regulations. They actually believed that eating with unwashed hands would make them ceremonially unclean. Somehow it would allow the evil into them. So Mark 7, it says this, 7:3, just showing how far they would go. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly. Somehow that would contaminate. Holding to the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there's many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots, copper vessels, and dining couches. They were trying at all cost to avoid being contaminated by the world around them. They sought to exclude themselves, to avoid outside influences. They thought that they were basically good. They thought they were good, the world was bad, and they're trying to avoid getting the bad in and corrupting the good. Amen? Are you with me? Jesus said, you're completely wrong. You don't have to worry about the corruption outside as much as you have to worry about the corruption that is inside. Mark 7:15 says, there, Jesus is talking. It says, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defiles him. Jesus is saying the source of pollution, spiritual pollution in the world is not primarily external. The source of pollution is internal. Next, Jesus addresses his disciples. Mark 7:17 says this, when he entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. Matthew tells us which disciple asked him about the parable. It says, but Peter said to him, explain to us the parable. Aren't you glad when you're in a class and the teacher's talking, there's that one person that always raises their hand and asks the question that you're too ashamed to ask? The whole class kind of looks at him like, what's wrong with you? And then they all lean forward because they want to hear the answer, you know? Peter wasn't ashamed to ask the questions, and I'm thankful that he asked the question because it was passed down through the generations. It was recorded in Holy Scripture so that we could know the answer for us today. Mark 7:18, Jesus said to them, then are you still without understanding? Now, if a teacher said, do you still not understand? We would all say, oh, no, yes, I don't understand. Can you draw this out and make it clear to me? I don't understand. You see, from childhood, the disciples were raised, don't touch, don't taste these things. Don't associate with these people. And now what Jesus is saying to them is something different. And so in verse 18, Jesus said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Everyone say expelled. That is the, in our translations, that's the polite way. The Greek word literally means to go into the latrine. It's kind of like locker room talk. He's with the boys, and he says, listen, what comes in one side, it goes out the other side. It comes in, it goes out, comes in, goes out, comes in, goes out, but does it go into the heart? No. Don't worry about those things. It comes in one side and goes out the other. It does not enter the heart. Verse 20. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. Where is the source of evil? What's the cause of the evil in the world today? Jesus says to us, this is what he says, hear me, all of you, and understand. It's a heart problem. Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality. Where do these things come from? They come from the heart. What were they being taught? Avoid these things out here because you're basically good. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft. Do any of us struggle with any of these things? Murder? Hope you don't struggle with that one. Adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within. And they are what defile a person. We have a heart problem. The issue is not out here so much, though our environments do impact us, but the issue is internal. Something has to change in the heart. We need a heart transplant. Your heart is where evil things come from. The source of pollution is deep inside of us. We have a heart problem. In Mark 18, it says, you do not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him. Verse 19, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled, thus he declared all food clean. With one statement, Jesus declared all foods clean and all hearts dirty. You see it? In that one statement, all foods are clean, but all hearts, they're dirty. I have a picture up on the screen of a chimney. I think this represents what Jesus is talking about very well. The Pharisees are like that chimney. And Jesus is saying, you have a problem. The pollution isn't coming from the outside going in. The pollution is on the inside going out is the problem. Listen to these words as Jesus describes the Pharisees. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have a heart issue. Jesus was telling the Pharisees, you have a heart issue. He was telling the crowds, there's a heart issue. The disciples who understood Jesus is God, you have to realize that this is a heart issue, and it was written down and passed down through the generations so that we could sit here today and examine our hearts. The issue is our heart. You don't have to look far to see evil. Anyone need to be convinced that there's evil in the world? It's on the television screen. It's on our laptops. It's on the radios. We hear it. It's all over. But where does this evil come from? Recent news stories, we hear about school shootings. Charlie Kirk's assassination. the war in Ukraine, with the claims 5,000 to 7,000 lives every week. That's more than the population of Bucyrus in a month. We hear about Hamas and Israel, and we see evil all around us. We hear about racial tensions, Chicago with the murders that are taking place in there, and it's put on our television screens. We see it. We don't just hear about it, we see it. We experience it. I've noticed since coming back from Africa, I've noticed how the news portrays these things. The first thing the news does is it shows us the evil. And it doesn't just show us it from one angle. We'll see the evil happen from this angle, from this angle, from this angle. We'll see it clearly on the television screen or on YouTube. They show us the evil, and inside it creates sometimes anger, sometimes fear. They show us the evil, and it creates an emotion inside of us as we see it for what it is, the evil in this world all around us. But they don't stop there. I don't know if you've seen this in the news or if you've kind of heard it. If you think about it, I'm sure you'll recognize it's there. They go one step farther. They show us the evil, but then they try to diagnose the evil. Is that not true? They will look into the family. What was the family life like? What was the friends? What can we learn from the friends? What can we learn from his school or things like that? Where does this evil come from? The news is wanting to know. What causes a person to do evil acts? And then they come to conclusions like that he was bullied. He was radicalized by some publicity or something like this. Or they came from an underprivileged, or they were did not have proper schooling or education. What the news is saying is essentially what the Pharisees were believing. That the outside influences caused, unfiltered into him or her, it caused the action. Are you with me? They want to know the source of evil. What causes these events to take place? And Jesus says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." I'm going to read verse 20 to 23 again, and I want you to look at this chimney with the pollution coming out of the chimney. He says, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness." It just spews out of it. It's coming from the heart of man. We have a heart problem. Deceit and sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all coming from the heart. Yes, the environment plays a part in that. I understand that, but the environment is not at the root. The root is the heart. We have a heart problem. And that's what Jesus is trying to get the disciples to see. That's what he's trying to get the Pharisees to see, trying to get the crowds to see. If you were to ask the average American, "Do you think you're going to heaven?" What do you think the answer will be? If they believe in heaven, they will say, what will they say? Yes. Why? And what will they say? I'm a good person. They're essentially saying the same thing as the Pharisees. I'm a good person. I just got to filter out the bad in the world, but I am inherently good. And Jesus says this is foundational for the Christian faith. We are not inherently good. Inside, from the most intimate, personal part of our lives, inside our heart, our hearts are corrupt, and there needs to be a change in the heart. You ever see someone do a heart surgery on themselves? Have you seen it? No, I'm looking at our doctor. We need someone from outside of us to be the solution. We need a heart transplant. We dare not look at everyone else and exclude ourselves. We have a tendency to think this way also. I am the way I am because my dad was this way. You ever hear stuff like that before? My parents were alcoholics, so it's just what it is. I could have done so much more in life, but I didn't have the education that I deserved. Will that justify you on the day of on Judgment Day? Will God acquit you when you say to Him, all my bad behavior was because I had bad parents? Will that stand on Judgment Day? What do you think? It will not stand. It doesn't justify us. Now, I'm not making the list of our bad things that have happened to us. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I know people who have had atrocious things happen to them. They have come to Jesus and surrendered their heart to Jesus, and they are living great, godly lives. Your past doesn't have to control your future. Amen? Let's go back to Jesus' day. The Pharisees came to Jesus, confronted him on his disciples not washing their hands. Jesus turns around and confronts the Pharisees' heart. Hear me, all of you, and understand. There needs to be a change of the heart. You need a heart transplant, and that is something you cannot do yourself. The Pharisees came to Jesus saying they need to wash their hands, but while they're speaking to them, their intent of their heart was to murder him, looking for reasons to accuse him. They look great on the outside, fasting 2 days a week, giving to the poor, wearing fine clothes, going to the synagogue. All the while, their heart had not changed. Has your heart been changed? Has your heart been touched by Jesus, the great physician? So we look at this. I think it resembles the Pharisees quite well. I'm going to read just some passages here. As it looks at the Pharisees, last time I preached, I said, really, these words are gracious. These are the words the Pharisees are going to hear on Judgment Day. And they're hearing them right then and there when they can still change. So long as you have the breath of life in you, and my heart's still beating, you can change too. This is what he says to the Pharisees who think the pollutant's outside, but really they're the ones that are just, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you succeed, you make them twice a child of hell as you are. Boy, they're doing a lot of religious stuff, but it's not mattering anything. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed. Whew, you see it just coming out. Self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appeared to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy. Just evil comes from where? Where does evil come from? The heart. In Romans, God inspired these words when describing our condition. Just look at this picture again. There's no one righteous. Not even one. No one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They together have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their way. The way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is his conclusion on the heart of man. Okay, we're done. Good message? Do you want me to leave us there? There is a solution. Do you want to know the solution? It's a work of God, not a work of man. It's nothing you can do, nothing I can do. It's something that because God loves you, he does it for us. Ezekiel, you'll see this passage up on the screen. 36:26 says this, I will give you a new what? A new spirit I will put in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's a work of God. One day Jesus was, it was the evening time, and this man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, one of these guys that had done all of these laws and things, came to Jesus and he said, Teacher, we know you're a good man, and he starts to ramble for who could do the signs that you're doing unless, you know, that God was with you. And Jesus just interrupts him and he says this, just stop with the rambling. Here's the point. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, well, I have to enter my mother's womb a second time? No. You were born of the flesh, but have you been born of the Spirit? When we give our lives to Jesus, he transforms us from the inside out. It's a work that God does, not a work that we do. He transforms us from inside out. When we surrender our lives to him, he gives us a new heart. And it's so different that it's like God saying, in very real, God, you're born again. It's like a newborn baby. The old is gone and the new has come. It's a transformation. But not only that, God gives us his Spirit. He himself, God's Spirit, to dwell inside of us, to empower us to live the life that we could not live on our own. Just curious, how is your heart this morning? Where is your heart? Is your heart right with God?